Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. From making your own cleaning products to composting, recycling, keeping chooks and reducing your carbon footprint, Maureen and her guests will inspire you with practical, everyday solutions that make a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Sustainable Dunedin City.
Welcome to Eco Living in Action, the sustainability show that focuses on the everyday things that we can do to make a difference. I'm Maureen Howard, a sustainability educator in Dunedin, but at the moment I'm in Northern Ireland. However, for today's show, I'm chatting with Hagar Osri, who is cook and owner of her business Hagar Osri, the organic cook. Hagar is passionate about food and its healing properties, and she's now a personal cook for people with health issues, as well as giving workshops on healthy cooking. As well as food contributing to a healthy body, how can the food we eat contribute to a more healthy planet? And it actually really matters, because how we prepare and cook our food, and especially what we eat, has significant impacts on our ecological footprint. According to the 2013 New Zealand Ecological Footprint Study, the food we consume contributes to a whopping 56% of the average New Zealander's ecological footprint. In our show today, I'll be chatting with my guest Hagar Osri about what sustainable food choices we can make, plus what are some of the foods that we really need to avoid to have a lower ecological footprint. And best of all, I hope Hagar will be sharing some of her favorite simple, sustainable and healthy recipes. In this show, recorded on the 11th of October, I talked to Hagar Osri about healing with food in ways that contribute to the health of our planet. So, Hagar.
Hi.
Hello, lovely to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
I'm just zoning into you across the airspace.
Yes.
But tell me now, has health always played a central role in your love of cooking and food?
Yeah, I was always a health freak, as they say. I've been vegan for a long time, and now I'm a bit more moderate, not so strict. But still, organics and sustainability in general is important. And like you said in the introduction, it's, through the food we eat, we can make such a big difference. And I always had that in mind.
And was it just kind of an intuitive idea with you at first, that what's healthy for us is healthy for the planet as well?
It's a wee thing I came across in a book I was reading, and of course it makes a lot of sense. It just didn't really occur to me in that, conscious sense. I was more concerned with my own health, and once I had a baby, that made a big difference for me. It was just, a matter of life or death. As soon as I got pregnant, I got real strict with my health.
Me too, actually. Yeah. I remember cutting out sugar. Obviously you cut out alcohol.
Yeah.
But you want your body to be this perfect place for the baby.
Yeah, and I was very religious about eating organic. Not conscious that those sprays that they put on their food, we actually consume that. A lot of people don't make the connection, but there's a lot of environmental pollution, but the pollution on our food is shocking.
At the beginning, we've got healing with food, and I really love the concept. And for you, it's very much people and planet together.
Yeah, I think it's an important work that I can do to contribute to society and the planet. There is a lot of awareness towards that now. A lot of people are turning to food for healing when they're faced with illness. Cancer is a big one, and there's a lot of those kind of gimmick sayings out there now, the starving, the cancer, the cancer starving diets and all those kind of trends that are out there now. So it feels like the right time to really press that and give some of my expertise and experience with food over the last 20 years. I feel I can actually do something with that now.
you kind of steer away from the fad aspect of all this, don't
That's
you?
That's right. I think it's good to just be simple, not give it a whole heap of hype. Just go back to basics and just, giving it a really simple method to show people how to go back to health. And we don't need to be faced with illness to get healthy. The body is constantly cleaning out the toxins. So if we're just making it easier on the body to do it, the job that it's doing all the time anyway, the healing is happening all the time. So by stopping eating toxic food, we just let our bodies do the job that it's doing anyway.
Because I guess in the past it was much easier for our bodies, and now we see with modern living, our bodies are just having to work so hard, aren't they?
Yeah, and we're just not giving it enough nutrition as well. Our food is really deprived of nutrients. Going back to natural food is really, nutritionally dense, as well as fixing the soil. You know, that's why the connection between, organic agriculture and health for our bodies, that we bring back nutrition into our produce and food, because a lot of the mass production of food is really stripped out of the nutrients that we need.
And it's related to the fertilizers, isn't it? Because these synthetic fertilizers, they cause the plants to just really grow very fast and strongly, but they're not gathering up, they're not collecting all the nutrients.
No, that's right. Yeah.
You said earlier you don't want to talk about specific foods, that are more healthy for us. But are there any that kind of jump out? Not that, we switch our diet and
wherever you are, the food that is good to grow in your climate is the right food for your body and to your biology. I think the in microbiotic, Eastern philosophy, they talk about that, how the food that is growing in our vicinity is what we also need to eat. So if you tune into that, it's a bit easier to think about it, because you don't want to clutter your mind with information. I think it's good for us to go back to basics and to simplicity. So if you think of what foods you need to eat, you just think of what you can grow in your own garden. So for us in Dunedin, it's a lot of greens, obviously. That's the easiest to grow here. Kale, obviously, has been famous with the nutrients for being so high in iron. Also, the vitamin C and citrus in fruit and stuff would also really aid healing and battling with the toxins.
So why is, obviously from an environmental perspective, basically what you're promoting is to either buy local food or even better to grow it yourself.
Grow it yourself.
And this obviously has a much lower impact and even a beneficial impact if you do it organically. Why is the food less healthy if it's being brought in from further? I'm playing a bit of devil's advocate here.
That's right. There is the vital, the vital force in our food. Once the vegetable is a bit limp, it's lacking that vital component, the life force in it. The nutrients will be more dense if it's fresh and local, and even better from your garden. I mean, we're not all have time to garden, but the simple things like herbs and greens are the ones that are really nutritionally dense and also easy to grow. So that's a good method to get your vital ingredients there, just with oregano and parsley, silver beet and spinach. Rocket, how it grows so voraciously here. Cilantro or coriander. All these herbs have got amazing healing properties, very good for detoxing. So just take big handfuls onto the chopping boards and just make a salad or a pizza topping or a pasta, add to your pasta sauce. All those, the little things you can do really add a lot to your diet.
Yeah, yeah. So we shouldn't forget all the herbs because, as you say, they're actually sources of a lot of extra nutrients
that
we might not get otherwise.
Mm, that's right.
And, so, also, and the freshness from what you're saying is the freshness is absolutely critical, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah. But there are things you can buy in bulk, like garlic, for example. You know, when the garlic first is harvested, you know, you can buy a whole kilo and keep it in your cupboard. I mean, that keeps really well, and you can get hold of that local organic garlic at the farmer's market. That's a good
and
way.
And another great food, a very, very healthy one.
Yeah.
So are any ones that we should, foods that we should be particularly avoiding, both for ourselves and the planet?
Yep, all the supermarket processed, packaged food, I would avoid it all. I think we will do good to our local economy as well as the global economy, you know, not give those corporations the monopoly that they have. We actually have a lot of power as consumers to change things. So we start, you know, with our own shopping basket. Avoid crackers, avoid biscuits, avoid crisps, avoid yogurts that are not actually a yogurt. Avoid, what else is there? So much. Bottled drinks.
Yeah, and when you're talking about the yogurts, it's the yogurts that are flavored and therefore they're sweetened and the... You know, the bug, the acidophilus and bifidus and so forth, they're all actually dead. They're not anymore, are they?
Or they aren't even there in the first place because it's just milk powder with, you know, read the ingredients if you really want to know. The good organic yogurts, they're out there. They're a little bit more expensive, but once you get used to the prices, your shopping basket actually balances out. If you buy the grains, you know, if you try and go organic, if you buy in bulk, you're making a big difference in price. And then making your own bread using the bulk grains, like brown rice, and just go simple. Have porridge in the morning with the whole oats, and then you can afford the organic yogurt in the supermarket because you're not buying all the other stuff that, you know, is costing you a fortune, really, for not much use. I think
I agree. Mm. It does. It balances out.
That's right.
And once you get into the habit of it, you know, people think, oh, I've no time to bake bread. But, you know, you can do things with a bread maker or...
I'm showing my clients in my healthy eating classes how to make a sourdough bread. And I give them a little jar of the starter and demonstrating the actual making bread. It doesn't... I do that regularly at home, and I've got three boys to feed. It's actually quite an easy routine once you get the habit of it.
So, you know, it's great to cook in these ways. Sort of, we talked a little bit about preparation, you're saying, just to go really simple. Are there any particular cooking methods that we should use or avoid?
There are cooking methods that are using less energy. So to connect the whole sustainability and conserving energy, you know, minimizing our footprints, as we say, there are the obvious pressure cooker method that is, you know, just minimizing the time you are cooking because of the pressure in the cooker. That's a really good energy conserving method, and also it conserves the it doesn't waste the nutrients because you're not throwing anything away. Everything is contained in the pot. So that's a good way. Consider buying a pressure cooker. Another way is the wok frying or steaming. It's another good way of just keeping everything in the pot so you're not throwing anything out, like cooking in water. Because quite a lot of the time when you're boiling a vegetable and then throwing away the water, you're throwing away all the nutrients.
So with the pressure cooker, do you save the water there and perhaps use it for soup? Or
yeah, that's right. So you always save the stock and use it for soup or, you know, for a risotto, for example, you're using vegetable stock. So you always, you know, keep that in a jar in the fridge and you can always use it in your cooking.
What about raw food? Is that something that you also look at quite a lot?
Yeah, I'm not too fanatical about raw food like some people are. Obviously, living in a cold climate in Dunedin, I find that raw food will just not give us the heat the body needs. We do need those root vegetables here. Again, it's growing, eating what's grown in your vicinity and being in touch with the climate you're living in. So it's quite easy to get into fads and trends, but we always need to think about it in the context of where we're at, and not starve our body too badly on the nutrients that you need in the climate that your body is trying to survive in. It's pretty cold here.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Anyway, as an Irish person, I like, you know,
you like
can keep
potatoes.
The spuds.
It makes you kind of grounded, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, I've promised the listeners that you might share a few recipes, and it would be great to hear some of your, perhaps your favourite and, you know, not too difficult ones that
are
sustainable and delicious.
Yeah. I jotted down a couple of ideas. One is my tahini dressing. It's a good kind of mayonnaise, you know, like a plant-based mayonnaise instead of using the egg and oil that usually is in a mayonnaise. So talking about potatoes, this tahini dressing goes really well on a potato salad. So the quantities are a little dodgy because I am too used to doing things blind. You adjust the recipe to your needs, but it's a cilantro chili. It's a mixture of chopped coriander, or cilantro as they call it in America. Chili is really good for your circulation, and coriander is great for detoxing. So this one as well, you can make it and put it in a jar. I'm using chili paste that I buy in the shops, and quite often when the coriander is scarce here, I buy the coriander paste as well. But you know, if you've got lots of herbs growing in the garden, you can add coriander and other herbs as well. So half a cup of chopped cilantro and two teaspoons of chili, more if you can handle the heat. Lemon juice, again, half a lemon or a whole lemon, depends on the quantity of how much you're making. So you can start with half a lemon and then adjust. And half a teaspoon of salt. And just mix it all together. And it's the most delicious chili dip. I love it.
Wow. Sounds fantastic. I love cilantro
coriander. It's an acquired taste.
It's lovely.
I love it.
And so these are great things that we can add to our staples that we've grown in our garden.
Yeah.
Any others? Or
I've got a millet recipe if we've got time. Do we have time for that?
Yes, I think we've got time for that.
Yeah, millet is a really unique grain because it's very nutritious. It's not too familiar in New Zealand. I'm not sure. I mean, our listeners might be familiar with millet. You can buy it in our local shop here in Dunedin. It Taste Nature. It's important when you buy millet that you buy the hulled millet, not with the husks, because that will be like bird food, the one with the husks. So it's a lemon-scented millet with kale. So it's got the kale for our, you know, iron, and the millet is very mineral rich. So if you are in the process of healing, it's really important to add heaps, as much as you can, to your diet. Lots of minerals, lots of vitamins, lots of trace minerals. The organic millet will have more than the non-organic, more of the minerals and trace minerals, and of course protein. I mean, I'm not too fussy about protein, but people out there are a bit fixated with protein. So millet is one of those grains that got a full protein
in it.
So 4 cups of water, half a pound of kale chopped finely, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 cup of millet. you rinse it and pick out the bad bits or stones that sometimes are in the grain. You got to give it a good wash first. And one medium leek as well chopped, 5 cloves of garlic peeled and finely minced, and some herb, either marjoram or tarragon, or I like cilantro, of course. But whatever herb that you like, you know, just make it your own. 1 teaspoon of salt, and then 1 teaspoon of grated lemon peel. Just, again, choose the organic stuff, because especially on the skin, there'll be a lot of the sprays and the toxins. So, yeah, if you can't get organic, then just give it a good scrub, and vinegar is good to get the sprays off. When you grate the lemon peel, make sure it's only the colored part, not the white. And then some freshly ground black pepper and the lemon juice as well, 1 to 3 tablespoons, depends on your taste. So what you do is you steam the millet. You either use the pressure cooker, and in the pressure cooker it only takes 3 to 6 minutes. But on the stovetop, you just bring it to the boil with 3 cups of water, and then just steam it until there's no more water left. Sometimes it does take up to half an hour or 3/4 of an hour. The pressure cooker was 10 minutes, not 3 minutes. I was reading the wrong note. So once the millet is steamed and the kale, you fry the onions, the leek and the garlic, and add the chopped kale, and then just mix the two together. It's quite a simple method, and then season it with the salt and the lemon rind, and Bob's your uncle.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's very nice. The lemon juice. Lemon is a great trick to make all food delicious.
Right, yes, and I love lemon. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you grow, you can possibly grow your own lemons, but you have to move the plant around a bit.
That's right.
Keep it warm.
Yeah. But
in a big pot.
That's right, in a big pot on the veranda.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to have to come to an end. We could keep carrying on and sharing your wonderful recipes. But, you know, obviously, you know, the big picture, I can feel that you're sort of quite a visionary person, and you've got a huge passion for healthy food. Like, is it possible, do you think, that you know, as a human species, we can be healing ourselves and the world with the food that we eat?
Fully and totally. I totally believe in that. I think healing is on a personal level and on a global level as one, but we've got to start here in the home. We've got to stop buying those products that the marketing and the selling, you know, the ploys that they're using against us. We've really got to turn a blind eye to that. Turn off your TVs and turn on your pressure cooker. start making food yourself. So whatever you love eating out there, would it be fries, you know, fish and chips, make it yourself. And I think that would bring healing to ourselves and the planet, and totally on a global level. Why not?
Yeah, and it's something that we all can do, because we all need to eat.
That's right. And cooking is really not that hard. And I think it brings a lot of joy and brings a different kind of energy into the home. You know, you start sitting together and eating. It really brings the family together. And all friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It's a great place for us all to share. And also, knowing that you've grown the food is such a wonderful thing, isn't
it? You know? And the research shows that sticking your fingers in the mud, in the soil, actually helps your mental health as well.
I was reading that. Yeah,
that's an interesting one. And then there's also the microbes. And there's quite a good parallel between the, you know, our gut health and soil health, with all the micronutrients and the you know, the microbes in the soil, as well as the bacteria health in our guts. There's a good parallel there, where we're eating, you know, more live food. It brings our gut to a better health, and the good bacteria is taking over from the bad.
Yeah, cool. Yes, I know.
Yeah,
we're not just our own little body, but we are an ecosystem unto ourselves, aren't we?
That's right. We're all full of bacteria.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know that you're quite a busy person. You've got your family, and you've got your business. What kinds of things have you got coming up?
Oh, we've got an exciting day retreat at Orakanui Eco Sanctuary in Dunedin, coming up on the 13th of November. It's a very exciting collaboration that we started, me and two others. We're doing yoga, a walking meditation through the sanctuary, and healthy eating. So we're starting, you know, we're doing a bit of group dynamics. So it's a whole day filled with personal growth and exploration of nature and our minds and health and food and nature, all those parallels that are out there that we have no time for in our busy lives. So the day is on the 13th of November, like I said, at Orakanui, 11 till 6 p.m. The cost is $80. And yeah, registrations are still going. You can get me on my website. It's www.hagaozri.co.nz, or on the phone, 022-172-3630. And yeah, just give me a call if you're interested. We also got a Facebook page going, if you are on Facebook. So it's Hagar Ozri, the organic cook.
So it's H-A-G-A-R.
Yeah.
O-Z-R-I.
That's the one.
So, right. Oh, that sounds really wonderful. That sounds a wonderful day, if people want to do that.
And I just also wanted to mention a couple of links if people are interested in healing with food. Jude Russo, who is on greenmed.com, which has got really amazing website, and it's very interactive as well. And if you are sick and looking for help out there, she's fantastic. And then there's Dr. T. Colin Campbell, who's got the China study, and that's another really interesting link. Because quite a lot of the time, Maureen, that's why I just wanted to push it in there. People who are faced with illness and the only alternative is chemotherapy, they find it quite difficult to find the courage to do anything else. But there are some amazing success stories with healing with foods. So I just want to encourage people to take that plunge. That's all.
And you don't have to ignore your doctor. You can do this as well, can't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Hagar, for coming on the show. That's really
Thanks
great.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, and today my guest was Hagar Ozri, and we were talking about healing with food, and that's both ourselves and our beautiful planet. And Eco Living in Action is supported locally by Sustainable Dunedin City. Thanks for listening, and catch you next week.
Sustainable Dunedin City aims to facilitate a positive, secure and sustainable future for Dunedin. We're local people interested in issues of climate change, declining energy security and sustainability as they affect our city. Sustainable Dunedin City produces a regular online newsletter of sustainability related events, hosts regular green drink sessions and organises the Big Green Challenge. For more information or to join, go to www.sustainabledunedincity.org.nz.